is here. Time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Reuben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth.
And Livy Streetwise.
Get out!
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
Oh, man, Coastsiders, it's been a while, but we are back. And this is Coastal Windage. It's Friday the 13th of September 2019. Throw some salt over your shoulder. And I would advise avoid anybody wearing a hockey mask on this day. It's time for some Coastal Windage. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's number one live call-in talk radio show, airing every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio, your local community radio station, right here, 100.9 FM and 1710 a.m. And, of course, streaming live on KHMBRadio.com. Coastside issues, hot topics, you, me, Livy, and Mr. Mojo Filters. Hey. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good, good morning.
Everybody's looking tan and fit and happy after a summer off doing your stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, sleepy.
Yeah, okay.
Still trying to catch up to this new schedule.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Like, it's hard to get back into the grind here. You know, we've said this before. One of the, you know, there's a couple of problems with being radio celebrities like we are.
As we are.
Yeah. I mean, they're good problems to have, but, you know, they're problems you got to deal with, and that is, you know, we have a lot of free time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of disposable income. So, you know, those two things are just...
Jim takes good care of us.
Yeah. You know, we got to figure out something to do with our time.
Yeah. I like what he's done with the place while we were out.
Yeah, so if you're listening, listeners, thank you. I know you are. We've got a lot of new equipment like we always do. Again, there's just, you know, you got to spend that cash on something. So station owner Jim Henderson is always providing new equipment for us.
It's nice to have today's show actually take place in the hot tub that he put in.
Oh, I know, but the burbling and the gurgling, though, can, you know, we have to have a special filter for that, too.
But it's Friday the 13th, so watch out.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. Enjoy that, everybody. All right, and right now, get on the phones, get on your keyboard, go ahead and give us a call, 560-9851, or send us an email, as many of you do. Well, I have a ton of emails from the summer, too many to read, but I'll summarize them in a little bit. But people have been sending us emails over the summer, which is great. Send those emails to coastalwindage@gmail.com. All right, let's get into our usual banter. Hey, how about, this sounds kind of banal, but how about that weather, huh? I mean, this is the kind of weather I love.
Yeah,
finally.
Summertime is here on the coast side.
It was way too hot yesterday.
That's all
relative. Where was it hot?
Yeah.
Here.
Really?
Here.
Oh.
I moved to the coast to have it be chilly.
I think it's 102 in San Jose, so it's all relative.
That is relative. You're right.
This is beautiful. I live for these 2 months, September and October, here on the coast side.
November's could be good, too.
That's true. They are amazing. So let's just, for listeners that maybe have forgotten us, I don't know how that's possible, but maybe, or new listeners, let's just kind of recap. My name is Reuben Truthmaker. I live here on the coast. I've got a son. I work here on the coast, and I love this coastside community. That's why we started this show, to kind of bring the community together, provide some information, a platform for people to talk about the coastside. I can't get enough of the coastside, and that's why I love living here doing this show. Livy, what's up with you?
Well, I love being here, too. I have a young son and a husband here on the coast. We've been here about 15 years, and I couldn't have picked a better spot for my husband and I couldn't have picked a better spot for us to raise our son. We love our community here and feel really blessed. So enjoy being part of the show every Friday with you guys, talking about everything under the sun. And probably my favorite is just the banter and, of course, entertainment news, as we all know. But at any rate, it's a great joy to be back. Second year for me.
Yeah. Mojo?
Yeah. Well, so I got two kids, you know.
Yep.
And one just started sixth grade and one just started college in Boston. So I'm straddling both coasts and just kind of hanging in there.
Yeah. Well, one theme, listeners, if you notice that. So we're all parents here on the coast side, which is an important demographic. These two, of course, are spring chickens. I'm old, so we have many demographics covered here. But to give that coast side perspective, and again, another thing that comes out from this short banter here is we love the coast side. That is the reason that we do this show. And as Livy mentioned, they could just literally turn a microphone on with us just sitting here in the room, and it would be similar or even better to the regular show, because we'd love hanging out. We've known each other for a long time, and hopefully that comes through in a fun, enjoyable, entertaining show. Okay, so let's catch up a little bit. We haven't seen each other all summer. I'll just tell you that as part of station owner Jim Henderson's media empire and Coastal Windage's own media empire, I did a little bit of TV work this summer, which was fun. Not as complicated as the radio studio here, but, you know, it was good. I also traveled thousands of miles by car, and I spent some time in the Utah Canyon country, so the 75 degrees here, Livy, is not hot for me when it was 113 the first day we got into Nevada in August. That's hot. 75 is... I almost need a sweater for
just
that.
Just curious. I did a little over 4,000 miles. So just where are you on that?
Not that far. Okay. So maybe in the 2,500
all right
range.
Well, yeah. It was kind of like a final road trip for the kid before he went off. So.
Well, so do tell. So what was your road trip?
It started off just the basics. You know, Albuquerque, Tulsa, turn around.
Albuquerque's the basic. Yeah,
well, I mean,
it's
on Highway 40. And then the next thing you know, it's like, let's take roads we don't ever take. So yes. Then the next thing you know, you're in Santa Fe, and then we wake up and we're like, let's go to Sedona. And I, you know Jerome?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to go have breakfast in Jerome. Just that kind of a trip.
Yeah, nice.
And next thing you know, we're going up Big Sur. And we're like, okay, let's do it. And I look down, and we're a little over 4,000 miles in.
Those are the best trips. I'll tell you that my family spent a week on Lake Powell houseboating.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the family flew back. My brother and I drove back, and we did the exact same thing. Like, let's take some different roads. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the Moki Dugway in Utah. It's a very steep road that goes up the side of a cliff, and part of it's still dirt after all these years, and it's very narrow, and so sometimes trucks have to back down because they can't make these sharp hairpin turns. And then we drove across Highway 50, the loneliest highway.
Oh, yes, done that.
And they have this passport program on Highway 50 now where you can get this little paper passport, and if you stop at five or six of these small towns along the way and find whatever business or office has the passport stamp, and you get five or six of these stamps, you can send it in and get a certificate that says, I survived.
Is the tree still on that road with the shoes in it?
No, I did not see that tree.
That
I mean,
amazing.
That's not saying it's not there, but...
How about the sand dune?
Oh, yes, that was amazing.
That's worth it.
Suddenly,
stop.
Whoa, there's
out of
huge
nowhere.
Sand dune.
And which truck did you end up taking?
We took...
Did you take the rickety or sturdy?
We took the sturdy, it was nice. Yeah, it's a diesel, so we needed the gas mileage on that. So that was a lot of fun. My son started at Cunha last month.
Nice.
It's his first time at public school.
Nice. They unwrapped it.
Yeah, that's great.
We'll get to that in a sec.
Nice. Yeah.
We will get to Building C. I am thrilled. I'm a big public education advocate, and just the way things worked out, my son has not been in public school, but he is now by his own choice. He's loving it. We're loving it, being part of the community there. We've had great experiences with all the schools we've been here at on the coast side. Cunha seems great.
My daughter's extremely happy.
Livy, you had an East Coast walkabout this summer?
Good golly, yes. Now, when the summer was ahead of us, the trip flew. Absolutely flew. You know, we saw wonderful sights. I'd never been to the Grand Tetons before. That blew my mind. I have nothing but amazing things to say about Jackson, Wyoming, if you've never been.
Yeah.
I mean, there's. I think that's probably going to be our next family trip out to like a dude ranch and then head up to Glacier National and do the whole nine there. I mean, it really just blew my mind. And I lived in Colorado for a number of years, and I never took for granted that view of the mountain, the Rockies, going to work every day.
Nice.
So this really resonated with me. And then we went to Rushmore. That was my son's favorite spot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good enough.
He loved that. So did I. Never been.
Let me ask you. So when you get to Rushmore, you know, was it just like a tourist nightmare, or could you really kind of have a moment of peace and serenity, a secluded spot or a spot where you weren't a crush of people, and actually like look at the statues.
So,
and,
or the carving. I think it all came down to timing. As it happened for us, I think it closed probably around 7, maybe 8 o'clock, because summer hours and it was still light out. But we got there at about 5:36. And I think that it had been recently renovated. It was very...
The
visitor center. It was very well done. There was like an amphitheater looking out to Rushmore. Huh. It was not packed. We had no issue. We could have sat there and, you know, had a picnic lunch, honestly, in the amphitheater if we'd wanted to. It was not crowded. And so we really did have time. And... worth it. It was very worth it. Then from there, we made the Instagram stop to the Minnesota Spam Museum.
Spam the food?
Spam the museum.
Why is it in Minnesota? Shouldn't it be in Hawaii?
I don't know that they don't have one in Hawaii, but I think this is the original one.
Wow.
And it's an interactive, amazing place to be.
Wait, interactive? So you're eating?
They have Spam, all different flavors, and they had cans on a line up above, you know. It was kind of like It's a Small World Spam. Great gift shop. Best gift shop
Did
ever.
You buy some Spam?
Yes.
Some flavored Spam?
What kind of
spam?
Spam. And then from there, we went someplace in Ohio, which was...
If you could see the look on Libby's face when she just dismissed Ohio.
Prepare for some phone calls from Ohio.
It was one of those...
made famous in the movie Tommy Boy, by the way.
Right. Was it Wolf Lodges? Like, you know those Wolf Lodges for kids? We didn't stay in that, but that's the kind of area it was. And then from there, Niagara Falls.
Oh.
And we wound up in Boston, met up with friends, then my son went to sleepaway camp for the first time in New Hampshire, which was turned out to be a big win. He loved it. He was there 3.5 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So that was fantastic. The whole summer was great, but coming home, man, that's a dog coming home. When you have the summer behind you, reality ahead of you. Everything, all the expectations.
I mean, are you retracing your steps, or are you trying to put something new in there?
I went to different spots, actually. And, like, I made it to Park City coming home, which was nice, although I had the flu and bronchitis.
Excellent. Which is always nice at high altitude.
I holed up in my beautiful hotel room. One I was able to get, because I tell you, you want to save money? Take a dog across country with you, because the only places you can get are Motel 6s and Holiday Inns. So this one I actually got to stay. Oh, I did forget to say, coming home, highlight bucket list for me, going to Notre Dame. Now, I have always had a Notre Dame
Notre Dame in Indiana, not Notre Dame de Namur in Belmont.
Correct, because Rudy is one of my favorite movies in this whole, I mean, out of all movies, that's top five. And so to get there was amazing. And it was a definite bucket list. And there was a great hotel there. And it was terrific. I did a lot of things that I'd always wanted to do on this trip.
That sounds like an amazing summer.
Yeah.
That's how you do a summer right there.
Yeah.
It was good.
I wanted to check in. We talked a little bit about your son going to college. Tell us about taking him to school.
Well, so I just wanted to kind of follow up with her comment about the Dakotas. Probably 10 years ago, we started collecting license plates on the trip.
Yes.
And the goal was to get as many states as you can before school starts up.
And actually collecting the physical
license plates. Just see them. Just got to spot them. And it starts when school's out, and then it ends when school starts back up. And this year, we didn't find either Dakota, which is usually...
Really?
Yeah, I usually find them both. I didn't hit either, which, you know, and we didn't get Wyoming. which really surprised me. I almost always get all of those. There was a year we didn't get South Carolina. But I thought it was odd, you know, especially since I was on the East Coast looking around. I picked up Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, all that other stuff. But that just, I don't know, I'm always trying to find data centers in this information, like, okay, what about this, what about that? But to kind of follow up with the road trip, we did something a little different. You know, we kind of went out into the country, did a little over, did we talk about this already, 4,000 miles, and coming back around, came up through Big Sur, back to the country that you recognize. But it was nice to see, like, Sedona's got a nice vibe to it. They have a law, a pollution, like a light law, you know, so it's dark. And that felt pretty good. And I stayed down off the main road because commercialism and Sedona don't really go well together. It felt really weird. Like, why are all these businesses selling these shirts and stuff?
Yeah.
But it was a bittersweet road trip. I mean, we've been doing this for 17 years, and he's like, okay, you know, and of course, and he's driving, right? You know, so it's gone from the back seat and the little iPod to, you know, you're driving and, you know, doing your thing. So I took a lot of pictures just to kind of have for the thing, some video, stuff like that. But then, like I said, you get back, and then the sixth grader needs stuff, so... just keep going.
Now,
I got to wipe a tear. Coming up for me in a few years. Anyway, sorry, Libby.
No, I was going to say, did your sixth grader get to Boston, and what was her? What were her feelings around?
So we looked at a lot of schools. I made the mistake of saying, you get in, and we'll go look at the school. And it took 3 months to go look at all these schools in Canada and around here and up there and over there. And she, to kind of make it good for her, we got her a hoodie at each one.
Nice.
So she's got this big rack of hoodies. And then she flies to Boston with us, and we get him all put in, and she sees all that. But now it's time for Parents Week, and she's like, I don't want to go. You know, so we've made arrangements. She's going to stay with friends, and we're going to do that kind of stuff. So she's, I mean, college is definitely in her path. There's no doubt. And she's kind of picked up his homeworks, you know, habit. So she's all into, like, it's me now, and I'm going in, and I'm coming out, and I'm doing the work. But I was just telling Ruben that in a 48-hour period, she learned to ride a bike, got a new bike, tried out for volleyball, got in, tried out for theater, and got in.
Wow.
All that happened in 2 days. Once kind of she got back on her own and in her gear, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so
she's doing okay being the only
I think she's already
home,
she's like, Dad, I want to paint the walls white, I want to paint the trim black, I want a black light, and I want
a black light.
Well, I want a black light.
I'm surprised you don't have one.
I do.
Yeah.
It's over in the cave.
It's when the eyebrow pierce, the nose pierce, and the lip pierce come.
You know what? I've just learned to, it is what it is. And it worked for the first one. I didn't, you know, I was kind of hands off. And as long as you stay on the track, my job is just to kind of, you know, keep you on. So
when she comes home with a sleeve, you're okay.
What's a sleeve?
A tat sleeve.
Tattoos all the way down.
Boy, you can tell I'm on top of it, right? Yeah. It'll be done before I even know what it is.
Well, you know, sounds like we all had a kind of a road trip summer, and I would say to people listening, how was that, you know, like, hey, let's get back to Coastside stuff. Well, again, we're Coastside folks living the life that most Coastside folks do. You can hear we're just, you know, regular people. Even though we're radio celebrities, we're regular people, and we have kids, and we, you know, we're living the Coastside life. But going out on road trips, especially driving road trips, it's really important to have as a comparison to the lifestyle that we have here. Things you like, things you don't like, things other places have that are better, that are not as good. It's good to see those differences, and then when you come back, you can, you know, settle in and go, this is why I love living here. These are the great things about the coast.
And to maybe even be slightly even more compassionate, because we live on a road trip highway.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're
a
destination location. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're glad to get home. But I will say to any parents, having a kid in a car is a good place to have a kid. I mean, wait, that didn't come out right, did it?
If you can't get to the hospital in time, sure.
Yeah, it's a full circle, right? No, it's like a captive audience, and it's a good place to talk and
absolutely.
and spend a couple hours together, and you know, sometimes
or more, a couple of weeks together.
Yeah,
being like, yeah, you have some of the greatest conversations.
Yeah, yeah. And
6 hours into a drive,
it was perfectly fine. You know, you're getting along good when you can go for an hour and not say a word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That
yeah.
there's a quality to that of just being together and sharing the silence.
Yeah,
so, couldn't agree more, Mojo. All right. I guess we have to get back to work now.
Come on.
This has been fun hanging out. All right. All right. So we got a ton of email over the summer, which we appreciate a lot because we weren't even on this summer. So for people to continue to send us email, I love it. There's too many to read, but I'll summarize a few. Many, many people in these emails asked us why we don't use social media, that we could be huge, huge, if we digitally networked more. I think we've discussed this on the show because my personal feeling is it's like vaping. It may seem like a good alternative, but social media is as toxic as a fully loaded Juul, in my opinion. So we ain't doing it, so we're still a nah on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Snickerdoodle, and Flabberjabber. So
okay,
don't bother me with that.
I will have to admit, I found something over the summer called Reddit.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that it's social, but as far as an information source, I can dial in, you know, a lot of things. I learned a lot about Boston, honestly.
Reddit.
REDDIT.
Yeah. I've heard of it. I thought it was a real estate company. Is that Redfin?
Yeah. There's a Red something.
Yeah,
but,
that's what it is.
And you pick kind of the topics.
Hmm.
You know, if you like the Green Bay Packers, that's all it's going to be, you know. I don't know. I've found it to be handy.
Okay.
You're ruining my flow here, Mojo.
Okay.
Like, I was trying to load up and
I know. I guess that's why I'm here.
Social media.
To ruin your flow.
That is why you're here. All right. Well, keep those emails and phone calls coming. And by the way, let's have a phone call, 560-9851. Go ahead and give us a call. It's the same three people that have been here for a couple of years. We'll take your call. All right. Let's take a look at the topics that we've got for today. Although I'm enjoying just hanging out, but news and notes from the summer. So over the summer, you know, some stuff happened, and maybe we need to catch up on that. Then our main topic is the magically appearing crosswalk in Moss Beach. And then why composting, which seems like a no-brainer. But I'm telling you, I was at a meeting on Wednesday, and it's quite controversial. So
really?
We'll get into that, yes. Our air quality report, we get this from airnow.gov. Other places give you the regular stuff like traffic and weather, snore. But we've got the really important stuff, air quality. So air quality is not that great today. It's 61 in Half Moon Bay and Mock Beach, 77 in Redwood City. 0 to 50 is considered good. 51 to 100 is moderate. So for some reason, we are in meh.
Is there a fire report? Are there any current fires?
Not that I've heard of.
Okay.
Not that I've heard of.
Hmm.
Okay, so news and notes. Let's get into some stuff that happened. Maverick Surf Contest.
Oh,
see
boy.
Ya. All right. So
the
World Surf League is canceling the event indefinitely. I don't really know what that means. Like, is it canceled or is it just indefinitely on hold? It seems like it's done, at least as far as the World Surf League. Logistical challenges and the inability to run it the last 2 years are their reasons. Now, they bought the rights to the Titans of Maverick Big Wave Surf Contest in 2017, and that organization struggled, and the organization before that struggled. There hasn't been an event since 2016. I was happening to watch TV the other night, and I caught the 2014 Mavericks on Red Bull Signature Series this past week. Was quite good. It's a very striking TV event.
It's just corporate mongers getting in their own way and making...
Thank you. Just ruining it. Yeah.
Just ruining it. The validity of the contest, the integrity, it's terrible. It's such a shame. It's really such a shame because it's so far from where it should be and how it started.
Well, I think, you know, if we can look at the positive of this, as a commercial venture, it may be...
Wait, you're bringing up the positive about it.
I know. Well, I mean, it's the end of summer.
Well, he's the one watching Red Bull Premium.
I'm
watching TV channels I've never heard of.
These are some amazing events, the Red Bull Signature Series. Anyway, as a commercial venture, hopefully, maybe, Maverick Surf Contest is done. And then maybe it'll go back to the organic, you know, just a bunch of people getting out there and doing it. And maybe this is ocean karma telling people that this wave can't be bought. You know, that it's just not going to work out. Several organizations have tried, and Mother Nature is just saying, you know what?
I don't know. I just think it's human beings screwing it up for other human beings. I'm just over it. Yeah.
All right.
I'm over it. Well, and isn't it ironic that they finally allowed women in the contest?
And then they dump
it. And then they dump it.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
Oh, man.
Don't get
maybe
me on that.
Yeah,
so
maybe
far.
You got something going there, Libby.
It was like Freaky Friday. You guys.
Conspiracy theory. Here we go.
It really ticks me off.
Yeah.
She's got a good point.
It's
why don't we do it?
Not
Let's just take it over. KHMB sponsors the wave.
Okay. Well, you know, we do have a lot of disposable income, as we mentioned.
We have some stickers we could give away.
Yeah, we do. We got look for those
winner.
New Coastal Windage stickers that are out there.
Sponsor of Mavericks right on there.
All right, some more bad news about people.
Come on.
Oh. The peak of Montera Mountain, which I have been to many, many times on my bike. Mm-hmm. Spectacular view, the South Peak, spectacular view of the bay, the southern south part of the bay, closed forever to the public now. Sometime in early August, the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, which actually owns the peak, fenced off the South Peak of Montera Mountain. Original statements from the SFPUC were that it was for, they had fenced it off because they were constructing a new rainfall and prediction and radio site. So they're building something out there. They're going to be grading. They're going to be putting down cement foundation, putting up a building. So they needed to fence the area off for construction. All right. I mean, grudgingly, okay. But according to them, during their environmental review, they allegedly uncovered habitat for the San Bruno elfin butterfly and Mission Blue butterfly, which is possible because if you go to San Bruno Mountain, they have habitat for those things there. But now they're saying that because of this habitat, which they claim is being trampled by hikers and... If you've ever been up there, one, it's not like there's a ant stream of people.
It's not like Everest. Mm-hmm. It's where...
Well, much less people go to the top of Montera Mountain than to Everest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a full commitment to get up there, whether you're on a bike or hiking. It's going to take you a while, and it's strenuous. Yeah. So there's not an ant line of people up there. And I've never seen anybody trampling anything. But the PUC is saying the area will be permanently off limits to protect this habitat. Never mind the fact that we're going to have construction equipment up here grading and laying a cement foundation and building buildings. That won't disturb the habitat in any way, I'm sure. There was no public input for this closure. SFPUC did send a notice, as they required, to all landowners within 300 feet of the site. How many... landowners,
maybe
think
one,
within 300 feet
one,
of the peak. Homeowners,
not a whole lot.
I'm wondering how many letters they sent out on that. Anyways, people are pretty upset about that. Again, it seems like yet another move by a government agency with little public review and flimsy justification, and now you'll never be on South Peak of Montera Mountain again.
Nope.
On another interesting news, we had a plane crash in the water. I think it was off of Moss Beach.
That was crazy.
Small plane.
Tell me about it. That's news to me.
So, crazy. Everyone was okay.
A private plane?
Yeah.
And everyone's okay?
Well,
little small plane out of Tampa Bay Airport. Yeah, the person that crashed has a reputation as kind of a YouTube stuntster.
Yeah.
So while the plane crashed, and literally while he was, like, getting out of the plane or being rescued, he had the camera going. And And I believe
Instagram
it wasn't his plane
crash.
Either.
He's
so.
Like, oh, and there goes the tail as it's going down. And here's the Coast Guard. And there's just...
So, I...
subscribe below and like.
Yeah, we shouldn't
I'm glad I didn't see that.
Yeah, we shouldn't have even mentioned this story because it seemed like it was a, clickbait story. All right. Here's the good and more good news. So my son started at Cunha this year, and Building C, the bubble wrap building, is open.
Yes.
There was a story, I think we talked about this in our last episode before the summer break, that buried on page 9A of the Half Moon Bay Review was an article with the headline, Cabrillo says Cunha building to reopen, and we were dubious because that thing had been wrapped for 3 years and it didn't seem like any progress was being made, but you know what?
Yeah.
The huge white tarp is gone. Mm-hmm. Kids are going into that classroom or that building.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's good news for
Cunha. My daughter has two classes in that building, loves it.
great.
That's great.
Well,
yeah. The true test will come in the rainy season.
Yeah.
So I just ordered rain boots. So yeah. Hopefully, knock on wood, we'll all be dry.
Well, I guess there's an ocean view from the second floor.
Oh, that's
nice.
That was a bonus, yeah.
Well, hats off to the Cabrillo Unified School District. They got it done.
Great.
It's hard work, but
looks
they got
good.
It done.
Looks really good.
All right, more news. The San Mateo County Dog Pilot Work Group, say that fast once, if you can. Dog Pilot Work Group. This is for San Mateo County Parks.
Okay.
They recently established a couple of sites in the San Mateo County Park System for on-leash pilots, where previously San Mateo County Parks did not allow dogs in any of their parks.
Huh.
They've started to open their sites up, and they have two on-leash pilot sites right now. And that is in Junipero Serra and Coyote Point. And now the pilot work group is working on off-leash sites. And so they are in the process of identifying and establishing rules for some off-leash pilot sites. And the group reported that the two sites that they are looking at right now, from a survey done amongst their committee members, are Quarry Park. And apparently there's consensus that they're going to recommend that to the Board of Supervisors as an off-leash pilot. All of the multi-use trails in Quarry Park would be open for off-leash dogs. And then Pillar Point Bluffs. Now, there's some controversy about Pillar Point Bluffs. Friends of Fitzgerald Marine Reserve is worried about the ocean, dogs getting down on the beach and attacking wildlife down there. The committee is trying to negotiate a settlement or a compromise where maybe the beach is completely off limits to dogs in any way, no leash, no off leash, and the bluffs are open to dogs off leash. So we'll get back to you on that. But that's good news for dog lovers. All right, here's good news for commercial lovers. We need to take a break.
It's
bills
true.
Got to be paid.
Yep.
Sponsors got to get their message out. And we will be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. While you're listening to these commercials, go ahead and get your phone out. Dial that number, 560-9851. We will take your call right after this.
Have you ever needed your will prepared or updated? Needed help with insurance claims? Received a moving traffic violation? Or had trouble with a warranty or defective product? Hi, it's Laura Marley, the Coastside's independent Legal Shield associate. Imagine having access to top-rated attorneys for unlimited advice and counsel, contractor document review, letters or phone calls made on your behalf on any pre-existing or future matter, with no clock ticking and no bill at the end of the call, and have 60 hours of an attorney's time paid for in the event you're sued. Legal Shield makes this a reality for less than $1 a day or $24.95 a month. Legal Shield provides affordable access to legal protection covering over 4 million people, over 141,000 businesses, and 34,000 companies currently offer Legal Shield plans to employees as a voluntary benefit. Contact me for a no-obligation consultation on Legal Shield services. I invite you to call me at 520-8000 or visit me online at lauramarley.com. Enjoy the peace of mind that comes with a Legal Shield membership.
On behalf of the City of Half Moon Bay, this is Colleen Letier, inviting you to join friends, neighbors, and other voters for a special Elections Night Out event. Tuesday, September 24th is National Voter Registration Day. All eligible residents are encouraged to register to vote with the extra goal of helping 16 and 17-year-olds pre-register so that they are ready to vote once they turn 18. This special community event will take place at the Ted Adcock Community Center from 5 to 8 p.m., What better way to celebrate National Voter Registration Day than with a free, yes I said free, dinner, raffle prizes, music, and more. Representatives from the County Elections Department, Census 2020, and city departments will be available to answer registration questions. Join us at the Ted Adcock Community Center from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, September 24th for Elections Night Out.
This is Paul Minoletti, the new owner of Barterra Winery in Half Moon Bay. My grandfather, like thousands of immigrants, came to America to make a better life for his family. He settled in San Francisco's North Beach and made wine for the family with my father. The making of wine and sharing with family was their simple pleasure. Visiting Barterra is like taking a tour through California's various appellations. We are constantly searching for the finest wines available and have a hands-on approach, visiting the vineyards and meeting with our winemakers. Stop by our tasting room, and you're likely to find me and my wife, Ginger, or my son, Chris, and his wife, May, behind the counter and ready to pour. During September, we are offering a discount on our Cabernet wine tasting and up to 20% off our Cabernet bottles to celebrate California Wine Month. Please join us in our beautiful courtyard at 643 Main Street for the ribbon-cutting ceremony on Wednesday, September 18, from 5 to 7 p.m.
How do you like it? Fast? Convenient? Friendly? Well, at More for Less, you get fast, convenient, and friendly. But you also get more. More savings on gas. More savings on snacks. Donuts. Fresh coffee. Candy. Sodas, beer, and wine. And all the little things you need, including propane and even dog food and cat food. Get more for less today at Highway 1 and Kelly Avenue because you deserve more, more, more at More for Less in Half Moon Bay.
Right, and we're back. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, getting into it for our third season. This is season three. We're going to hit the 100 episode mark this season at some point. Hopefully we'll have some kind of party. Yep, we are now officially an institution. Hey, I want to...
How many interns are we down to?
Don't know. I think we're into single digits now, but let me double back to that in a second.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why we're down to single digits. I had to let a couple of them go. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to mention, here's a special opportunity for anyone who loves listening to KHMB and also has a favorite nonprofit you want to support. General Manager Jim Henderson, Man About Town, is looking for a volunteer to help with some special projects. They are easy projects, but you do need a computer and you can work from home. Here's how it works. You become a station volunteer for a couple hours a week, and the money you earn will be donated to your favorite charity. Be a part of the Coastside Radio team and help earn money for your favorite nonprofit. If you're interested, just call the KHMB listener line at 453-4000, and Jim Henderson will call you back personally. That's worth the call right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's different from our call-in line, which is 560-9851. Call that number, and you can talk to us directly, which maybe is not quite as much of a treat as talking to Jim Henderson, but you know what? There's three of us, so you get more for
it's
your money.
It's a pretty big treat.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we don't pay.
No. We get paid. All right. All right, the magically appearing crosswalk in Moss Beach.
All right, let's hear about it.
Let's just get to the facts here. On August 22nd, a 7-foot-wide, hastily painted crosswalk appeared across Highway 1 in Moss Beach at Virginia Avenue. There were no accompanying signs or public notices or really any quality associated with the design, with the crosswalk. In fact, most people that saw it after it was put in were not sure if it was official or not. It literally looked like somebody had taken a can of paint and slapped it down on the ground.
Yeah.
And this, people not knowing who put the crosswalk there, included the County of San Mateo and the Mid-Coast Community
Council.
Yikes. Yeah, so for a couple of days, nobody was even sure if it was real or not, who put it there, whatnot. So there are many complaints to the MCC about the unsafe and shoddy nature of the hastily installed crosswalk and some phone calls. I went down there with some friends of mine to check it out. Almost got hit twice in this thing. Once, just standing at the edge because the crosswalk literally just kind of goes across
appears
the road and ends in the dirt. There's no staging area. There's no sidewalk.
Yeah.
And so while we were standing at the mouth of the crosswalk waiting for an opportunity to go across, a car turning onto Virginia turned and just kind of cut the corner there and almost ran us over as we were standing at the edge of the crosswalk waiting because the car didn't know it was there. There's no staging area.
Yeah.
Then as I crossed the crosswalk, because cars, there's no signs, the cars weren't expecting it, I was almost hit by a car. I mean, I'm standing in the crosswalk like waving my arms and a car just blows by. The speed limit is 50 miles an hour there.
And you're not a small man.
And I was on my bike, too, so I was higher even than
golly.
That. So it was dangerous. There was no signs. So there was a lot of complaints, and there was an article in the Half Moon Bay Review that said that Caltrans had in fact installed the crosswalk after being contacted by California Assemblyman Kevin Mullen's office. And Kevin Mullen represents the 22nd Assembly District, which includes Moss Beach. So, per the August 29th story in the Review, according to Caltrans spokesman Jeff Weiss, the project was expedited so Caltrans did not follow normal protocol, which includes putting in signs at the same time as the crosswalk. There was some urgency in getting a crosswalk installed there, so we wanted to get the ball rolling as soon as possible. In the same story, the Review confirmed that Caltrans acted in response to a request from Assemblyman Kevin Mullen's office. Susan Kennedy, Director of Communications for Assemblyman Mullen's office, said, quote, "My understanding is we had several people from the area reach out to us in our office, ask Caltrans to look into the area and put in a crosswalk." Okay, so back to the crosswalk. So that's kind of like that's the story that came out in the Review. And I don't think, I did my own research, we'll get to that in a minute. There's nothing inaccurate in that story, but it doesn't tell the whole story, and it didn't suffice for many people, I will admit, including myself. Like this, and we'll get to that in a second. So back to the crosswalk. The crosswalk, in addition to looking shoddy, and I mean shoddy, I mean, it didn't even look straight.
I was going to say, so you stood there and what, terrible paint job? It wasn't straight, it wasn't...
Terrible paint job, it wasn't straight. There was no signage at all. I mean,
right,
it's a 50-mile-an-hour zone, and suddenly, boom, there's a crosswalk, okay?
Right.
It's dangerous because people get this idea that if they're in a crosswalk, there's some
safe.
Magical protection.
Yeah.
There's it's just paint.
And that's the reason why that has not been done at Gray Whale.
Right.
Also, one of the many reasons, but...
Okay, so in addition to looking shoddy, this thing did not even comply to Caltrans' own standards, which, again, kind of raised these conspiracy ideas of, like, wait a minute. The guy said it was expedited, there was a sense of urgency, this thing is thrown in. I did my own research, we went and looked up, there's many different designs for crosswalks that Caltrans has. This is the hatch design. It needs to be a minimum, per Caltrans standard, minimum of 8 feet wide. I went up and down the entire coast side measuring every crosswalk in the mid-coast. This crosswalk is only 7 feet wide, so it's a foot narrower than Caltrans' own standards. The next most narrow crosswalk anywhere on the mid-coast is 10 feet at Highway 1 and Coronado in El Granada. And there's ones as wide as 22 feet on Capistrano Road in Princeton. All of these other crosswalks have some kind of traffic control associated directly with the crosswalk, either a stoplight or a flashing sign. And as I mentioned, the posted speed limit at this location is 50 miles an hour, the highest speed limit of any location with a crosswalk on the mid-coast, and no associated traffic control lights or anything. So it's
a totally random spot. I mean, I think that if I were to have chosen a spot, I would have chosen the spot directly across from the police station.
California. This spot has been identified. That's one of the reasons that people had their conspiracy theory going. Is so the quotes in the paper, a sense of urgency, expedited. Kevin Mullen's office, you know, said something to Caltrans for at least 10 years. At least 10 years, and more like decades. People have been trying to get a crosswalk. At least one in Moss Beach, at that exact location.
Where it is now or the one I'm talking about?
Where it is now.
Okay.
Specifically, the county and the Midcoast Community Council have been working on getting safe crossings in the Midcoast since 2010. And they've had a very strong program on that, where they've had many public meetings, thousands of dollars in consultants' fees, public input, designs that were reviewed, a variety of different designs that included overhead lights or signs with flashing lights, a two-stage crosswalk that's offset with a raised median in the middle, so pedestrian refuge in the middle, these kinds of things. The county started out with the idea of 7 safe crossings between Graywell Cove and Miramar. That got pared down to 5, got pared down to 3, got pared down to 1, and this crossing at Virginia dropped off the map. So years and years of effort on this, and then suddenly this thing appears, you know, not literally, but almost in the dead of night.
Caltrans is owning up to it.
So this is part of the conspiracy theories that have, and the anxiety that people have. Nobody knew. There was no public announcement by Caltrans that this thing was happening. It just appeared, and there you go. And so only after a couple of days of people complaining did they come out and put some temporary signs in the weeds on the side of the road saying, hey, crosswalk here. The MCC wrote a letter to Caltrans and Kevin Mullen's office saying, hey, you know, WTF. So now they put some of these temporary electronic road signs, you know, that you see on the side of the road that have that you tow on a trailer. And now they've been there two or three or four times now. They've got one permanent sign put in, you know, that says there's a crosswalk here. They're supposed to put another one in. Those signs don't have lights or anything. I don't know if the crosswalk has been expanded to more than 7 feet. It's poorly done at every level. And the question that people, and the thing that's getting people riled up, including I was myself, is how and why. So I was particularly very upset about this.
We've got a call.
Let's take a call right now. All right, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. Who are we talking to this morning?
Hi, Ruben. This is Barbara from Moss Beach.
Barbara, what's happening? What do we got this morning?
Well, Caltrans is back out there again, trying to put up one more sign, it looks like.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, now, do these signs have lights on them, or are they just, you know, signs?
No, they're just signs, and they're crooked. It's like Keystone Cops, if you remember what they are.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
All right. Well, is it a full work crew, or is it just, you know...
When I went by about a half hour ago, there were two big Caltrans trucks and then a couple little pickups. And it's not our normal crew from down here, so I'm not sure where they come from, but...
Okay, so... when you say the normal crew from down here, you mean from the maintenance station south of Half Moon Bay?
Right. Yeah.
Huh. So where would they be coming from, do you think?
I don't know where another Caltrans yard is, but these guys are just it took them one day to put up one sign. It's just crazy.
If you could see the eye rolls that we just had over here.
Sigh over here. Well, Barbara, did you happen to notice have they widened it?
No, that hasn't changed. They're more worried about, or not worried about, I don't think they worry about anything, but it's the, they're working on the signs. There's so many, it's confusing, and even if there's no one in the crosswalk, everybody's breaking because it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, hastily installed. I've got a little bit more information I can give if we get off the phone with you about how Caltrans is characterizing how this happened, but that's not encouraging. I mean, to me, the whole thing needs to be ripped out and started over from scratch in a way that meets Caltrans' own standards. I mean, it is too narrow for their own standards to start with. Let me just read, Barbara, while I have you on the phone since you made this call. Per Caltrans' own standards, quote, crosswalk lines should not be used indiscriminately, and engineering studies should be performed before a marked crosswalk is installed at a location away from a traffic control signal or an approach controlled by a stop or yield sign. The engineering study should consider the number of lanes, the presence of a median, the distance from adjacent signalized intersections, and on and on and on. The availability of street lighting and other appropriate factors... Kind of seems like none of those were taken into consideration.
Yeah, I don't see any of those boxes
checked. That's just installation.
No.
Oh, I agree. I don't think any of those things were done. I'd be very interested in getting the full story of how this happened, but so far it doesn't look like we're going to find out. We had the CHP at the MCC meeting the other night, and they didn't even seem to know how this happened. They thought it was a rogue crosswalk that someone had just put in.
Safe to say, Barbara, I would not cross there.
No, I
mean,
take your life into your own hands.
No kidding.
That's kind of a good benchmark of I would not send my son, if I lived in Moss Beach, I would not say, go to the crosswalk and cross there.
No.
It still feels unsafe. Well, Barbara, thanks for calling. I'm going to give a little bit more information that I discovered, but I really appreciate the call. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so I was particularly incensed about this, having been to many, many MCC meetings where the MCC spent hours and hours working on designs, getting public input, and then to have this thing put in that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And illegal in the sense that it doesn't even meet Caltrans standards. So following the breadcrumbs...
Oh, wow.
We may not get to this. We got another call. When the calls come in, we take the calls. Okay, this is Coastal Windage. Who we got calling this morning?
Okay, it's Maria Holloman speaking.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, how's it going?
Excellent.
I just want to say that crosswalk... I'm actually very, very pleased it is there because I cross the road all the time. And I go up because I've got kitty cats to look after up the road. And then I come down. There's the bookmobile is over there. Every second week, and we go to that and we use it. And yes, cars just don't, it's like they don't want to pay attention to the crosswalk, even though there's quite a bit of signage saying that people cross the road in that area. The speed limit's too high. You know, it's 50 miles an hour over there. They actually need to make the speed limit slower.
Yes.
And then, you know, I stop and I wait, and cars ignore me. I mean, I'll be holding my son's hand and they ignore me, and it's like, yeah, we're not going to see the shop. We're actually, there's a park up there, and down below there's the reserve. And
well, we don't disagree that there shouldn't be a crosswalk there. We just think that it's somewhat of a hack job the way that it's been done, and if it were done properly, then that's what I think
it's not very neat.
Right.
It's not very neat at all.
Or regulatory.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the danger I see is that people like you, Maria, we want to cross there. It's a natural place to cross. There's Moss Beach Park on the east side. There's the reserve on the west side. There's the taqueria. People want to cross there, but it's just a painted line. It's dangerous. The MCC looked at many designs, including ones that had raised median in the middle and an offset crosswalk so that you could get halfway across, be in a raised median, protected from traffic, and then make the – you didn't have to cross – I mean, there's like at least 80 feet of asphalt you have to cross there in one bite, and there's no center turn lane or anything. And now
they could actually build a bridge that we could just walk over.
Maria, that's a whole other can of worms. Good luck on that one. We're trying for that at Greenwell Cove.
Yeah, the other, my husband said they could put those lights. You know,
we could press the button, the lights come on.
I mean, this is what we're saying is that it all of these things have been included in designs that have been reviewed over the last 10 years, and for this to be put in this way, people want to know. Well, Maria, I really appreciate the call. Thank you for that. And keep listening, because I've got a little bit more information that I learned yesterday that I want to pass along.
I'm actually very thankful that there is a crosswalk also. You know, it has to be done properly, but you know, it's better to see.
Excellent point.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care.
Right. Bye-bye. Okay, so... Again, I was incensed, really, like, looking for a conspiracy and everything. Like, wait a minute, following the breadcrumbs and the Happy Review story. Hold on, we're trying to do this for 10 years. Suddenly, you know, a call from Kevin Mullen's office, and this thing goes in slapdash in the middle of the night. You know, I was upset. So I went to the MCC meeting, the MCC, and these are some great people. These are the Mid-Coast representatives, the Mid-Coast Community Council. They were doing due diligence on this. They were in communication with Caltrans, with Kevin Mullen's office, and they presented some information Wednesday night that I wasn't buying. Okay, and they said that there's no conspiracy. This wasn't like, you know, Kevin Mullen's office pulling strings or anything. I wasn't buying it because the amount of work that the MCC has put in on this and then to just have this thing appear so shoddy, you know, with this expedited... Caltrans doesn't expedite anything, okay?
Didn't sit well with you.
No. So, but we have a responsibility. This is a professional show, and we have a responsibility to not just inflame things. We're trying to bring the Coastside community together in a positive way and not just royal waters. So I made some calls myself to the people... who are identified in the Half Moon Bay Review article. And that would be Jeff Weiss, Public Information Officer at Caltrans, and Susan Kennedy, Director of Communications for Kevin Mullen's office. And I talked to both of these people, and I will say that they gave me their time. These are people that are, you know, don't have to talk to me. And they called me back. We had extensive conversations. And at the end of that, okay, here's the upshot. Here's what happened. At some point... some residents called Kevin Mullen's office months ago and said, we need a crosswalk. Okay, I don't know if these residents had been to MCC meetings or not, but they called his office. As any local legislator should do, Kevin Mullen's office, and I don't even think Kevin Mullen ever heard about this. These are staffers in his office. You know, he's got things to do in Sacramento, so he probably doesn't even know about this situation at all. He didn't make any calls himself. A staffer in their office passed it along to Caltrans as an agency that's responsible for this. Here's some comments we've got passing along. From there, so that was the pretty much the sole involvement of Kevin Mullen's office. And I was looking for a conspiracy there, and there's not. Okay. In my opinion, from what I've spoken to with Susan Kennedy in his office, that's what happened, and I believe that. From there, though, is where it kind of falls apart. So this is on Caltrans, and Jeff Weiss admitted that it didn't go the way it normally goes at Caltrans. He did say that they did all the engineering review studies, and the engineering department signed off on it. You know, take that as you will. That's what Jeff told me. But he said something happened with the installation of it.
Mm.
And he didn't know what the problem was. And if you want to be upset, you can be upset as why doesn't Caltrans know what happened there? It's their organization. What does it take to find out?
But they're saying this was Caltrans. They are behind
it. This is a Caltrans thing. But as one of our callers mentioned, at the MCC meeting on Wednesday night, CHP officer came to make a report, as they often do at MCC meetings.
And they had no idea.
No, he reported that their information, that the official information the CHP has, is that this was an illegal rogue activity that Caltrans didn't do.
Yeah.
And he had to be corrected by the MCC that said, no, actually, Caltrans is admitting they did it. So I don't know how and why the CHP would have information that Caltrans didn't do it.
Yeah.
Caltrans did it. They did it improperly. Their public information officer admitted that it was not done the way they would want it to do. They're working to fix it right now. Upshot is, there's no conspiracy in terms of political influence. I would say
poor communication, clearly.
I want to say
it's not a rogue project. Caltrans is behind it. They just did a bad job.
Well,
we still want to know.
Well, I mean,
according to the caller, they're there right now.
Yeah, but they're,
using
they're
a mallet
supposed to be
and
doing
crooked signs and
yeah, they're
shot.
Supposed to be doing
it's
these
the Keystone Cops,
yeah.
engineering studies and you know, like with some public input and stuff. That's part of the thing. I'm still annoyed with that. It just got slapped in there with no public notice. No, like the article in the paper, hey, there's going to be a crosswalk going in at Moss Beach. Keep alert for that. It just appeared, and now they've been back several times over a couple of weeks. Fixing
ad hoc,
slapping some paint on, you know, a ramshackle thing there. It's not good. It's still not good.
It's reminiscent of the Seinfeld episode with Kramer on the highway. Extra wide lanes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it all comes back to Seinfeld.
Okay.
I'd like to point out a really nice crosswalk as you go into the harbor there.
Yeah.
Painted it. They've
that
got
is
lights.
Very nice.
I mean, I was impressed.
Yeah.
And
that
well
is
done.
A 22-foot wide crosswalk in a 25-mile-an-hour speed zone with traffic control lights and signs.
Yeah.
Well
this
done.
Is a 7-foot wide crosswalk in a 50-mile-an-hour zone with
that's
previously
trap.
No
that's
traffic control.
That's a very
control.
Dangerous trap.
Yeah.
Okay, alright, we got some emails have come in. I'll get to these emails in just a second. Looks like we won't get to YY composting. We'll save that for next week, but this is an important story. I will admit right now, I am eating a little bit of crow. I wanted to see a conspiracy in here. There is none. I believe.
I know you did.
I believe,
see that bowl of crow soup sitting there with a big old spoon.
Right.
Can I
get you a bigger spoon?
I got feathers in my teeth right now. Hey, you know, even a futurist is wrong
at
sometimes.
At least he admits it.
I mean, all right. So two good things have come out of this. Soon we will have a properly signed and installed crosswalk in Moss Beach. Soon we will have a better crosswalk in Moss Beach, and this is needed, and maybe it can be improved now that Caltrans has put it there in the first place, and they admit they did a poor job of it. Maybe we can review some of the MCC and the county's designs and improve what's there, okay? But we've got something which is possibly better than nothing. Also, Susan Kennedy out of Assemblyman Mullen's office said, in the future, the MCC is welcome to reach out to Assemblyman Mullen for assistance with Caltrans issues, and this is important because Caltrans is often a black box. It's hard to find somebody to contact there. It's hard to get them to do anything. If this is what it takes to get things done that we need on the coast, well, then there's been a good outcome from this. All right, we've got a couple of emails here. I'm kind of afraid to read these because
we've got, like, 2 minutes.
Okay. Yo, Boobin. It's Ruben, but this person has written Boobin. You got totally played. you talk to two professional political mouthpieces and think you got the truth. You want to buy a bridge?
Oh, goodness.
I don't think I got played. I mean, maybe I did, but I believe what these people told me. And in fact, Susan Kennedy and I, out of Kevin Mullen's office, talked about how people, a lot of people, including myself, are generally anxious and ready to believe the worst when it comes to politics because of the general tone and behavior coming from the very top of our government right now. And it doesn't inspire confidence in the system or those who control it. And so when stuff happens in your own community, I guess I was ready to believe the worst right off the bat. And I'm saying right now, the MCC, what they reported at their meeting on Wednesday, the leaders of the MCC were right. They did their due diligence. They reported the community in a good way, and I was wrong. All right. This was from listener Teeing Off. Yeah, and I don't know what to tell you, Teeing Off. In the absence of any clear public statements about this issue from anybody or any agency, and without an identified cause for the improper rushed installation, one is left to make their own conclusions. I call these people, and that's why I feel confident in the story now. But I agree, there's no definitive statement on this, and so people are left to just go wherever they want to go with it. Okay. Oh, dear. We really need we need to change the intern that screens, okay?
Okay.
This one, this is not going to be good just by the name. Red Meat Wayne.
Uh-oh.
See, okay, quote, "See, this is why America hates San Francisco liberals." Oh, good start. "A politician responds to his constituents and gets something important done, but instead of looking at the end result, hand-wringing liberals are caught up in the process. Don't we need a crosswalk in Moss Beach? Didn't Mullen get Caltrans to put one in? What is the problem? Get her done." All right, first of all, Red Meat, I am not sure this has anything to do with liberals or conservatives. And second, Kevin Mullen's office is saying that his only role was in passing information along to Caltrans. His staff did pass along the info. And after looking into this, I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Mullen himself knows absolutely nothing about this. So, everybody, I guess what I'm saying is, stand down.
Cool your jets.
Yes. And let's just move forward on this as the MCC advised and see if we can get Caltrans continue to improve that crosswalk. And let's see if maybe from this we can use those connections that have been established and get more safe crossings on the coast side. Okay, we didn't get a chance to get to YY composting, which, believe it or not, was a hugely controversial issue at the MCC meeting on Wednesday night. We will get to that next week for sure, and we will be back next week with another episode live on air with your calls. Thank you. We had two calls today and two emails. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.